Please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Carissa Garcia.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to help us all get focused on what's going right in the world.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And also, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, and home office-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, the 13th of January, 2022. Hi, Christy. How are you today?
Hi. I'm well. I'm enjoying a little bit of winter sun here. We were talking yesterday about my need for more vitamin D. Which I take as a supplement just to make sure I get enough. It's one of those things that we've written about. I think that was one of our stories that went kind of bananas over the holidays, vitamin D and how important that is for immunity and other vital health functions. So how is your day going?
We both live in beautiful Santa Barbara, so I'm enjoying a little bit of winter sun as well. I think I might get outside in a little bit. I love sunny days.
Okay, well, should we just jump right in?
Yeah, so today we have kind of a school theme going on. This one is about how forest schools surge in popularity in the UK. Around 30 years ago, the forest school movement was introduced to the UK via Scandinavia, a place where passion for nature and the great outdoors is a deep-seated part of the culture, and now forest schools are experiencing a revival in the UK. According to a 2021 survey that includes 200 UK schools, as many as two-thirds have noted an increase in demand for forest school places since the beginning of the pandemic in spring of 2020.
So what a forest school is it's a school that takes place all outside. And I have some friends who have toddlers who they have to put into daycare somewhere. And what they've chosen to do is send their kids to forest schools or to outside schools because the transmission of COVID is much lower when you're outside. And that's their balance between being completely safe and keeping their kid inside all the time and letting them get some socialization outside. Plus, it's amazing just being outside and getting used to even playing in the rain. It's not that big of a deal if you are dressed for it properly. But anyway, so that's what forest schools are. So go ahead, finish talking about this article.
So the forest school experience isn't meant to completely replace traditional learning, but rather complement it. Usually activities like bushcraft, mud play, den building, and games of hide and seek take place in the woodlands or in other natural environments, which are viewed as more COVID friendly than the typical classroom that is confined indoors. And children also enjoy socializing outside, and it gives them the opportunity to communicate with peers in a safe outdoor environment that can help them refresh their social skills with face-to-face play. Many educators are realizing the benefits of forest school sessions, but in traditional schooling, it'll take a while for this to become standard.
You know, we've written before on the Optimist Daily about how having kids engaging with nature in school, whether it's playing in the dirt, eating found food, you know, like wild berries and things like that, that are safe, you know, like the Pacific Northwest where they have blackberries all over the place. But it improves the kids, not just their physical and mental health, but their interior microbiome, just letting kids play outside. So I think this is a great trend.
It caught my interest because I was like, wow, I wish I had went to a forest school. I think it'd be so fun.
And also just being in nature, you can become kind of a little naturalist, observing how nature works, how different parts of it interact and the whole system of it, and getting comfortable just being in the rain and the cold and not being afraid of a little thunderstorm.
Me too. I'm glad it's gaining popularity, and I think maybe across the world it'll become more popular, like in the United States as well.
I love it. Well, speaking of school, my article also talks about how important the lessons from the pandemic get applied going forward. Yeah. The headline reads, "Starting school at a later time could benefit adolescents." And as the parent of an adolescent, I have a 15-year-old. This is definitely something that I can endorse. This article talks about how the impact of the school closures during the pandemic had tons of negative effects in terms of social development for kids, especially teenagers. But there were some other findings that also show there were some positives. Yes, it did seem to increase mental health issues for adolescents with anxiety and depression increasing, but it also improved sleep And there's a new research study that just came out of the University of Zurich, which actually talks about some of these positives. The study was carried out on 3,600 high school students and then was compared to data taken from a similar study done in 2017 from 5,300 participants. It turns out that in the lockdowns, students got about 75 minutes more sleep per day, and that led to improved sleep and health-related quality of life. The study's author, Oscar Jenny, talks about this because at the same time as they got more sleep, they used less alcohol, they used less caffeine, which are linked to better overall well-being. And health-related quality of life was improved significantly with that extra sleep. I think having our kids back in school is so important. And I know for my son, he likes going to school, even if it means he has to wake up a little bit earlier. I mean, he did really appreciate being able to roll out of bed and go to his first class, you know, and when he had the option in the middle of the pandemic to go back to school in a hybrid learning, he selected to stay in the virtual classes, which was more comfortable for our family anyway, because of immunocompromised people in our family. But the big factor there was he got to sleep in. So, but now that he's back in school, he really loves it. And because he didn't need an extra PE class because he's already taken those. They only gave him 3 courses, so he doesn't have a first period, which he also loves. So he gets to go to school later than his peers. And it's really been a benefit to him. That might be the answer for keeping our teenagers going, because sleep deficits in adolescence can lead to some pretty significant mental health ailments and physical ailments, which in turn have a negative impact on cognitive function, on attention, concentration, on memory, on just learning in general. And so this study, which was published in the JAMA Network Open, which I think JAMA stands for a medical journal. I don't know. Have it in front of me. So, but the traditional early morning school start times may be detrimental to students' health and quality of life. And I think maybe it makes sense for schools to start later. And maybe it makes sense for all of us to try to get more sleep. That was something that I noticed myself, just sleeping in, my body felt better in the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, so where do we find that balance between getting enough sleep and having the social connections that going to school really brings and the learning needs to help our kids?
I feel like when I was in high school 5 years ago now, one of the main things.
So long ago, Chris.
But for me, the main thing that defined my high school experience was feeling tired all the time, up until midnight or 1 a.m. doing homework every night. And then I had to be at school by 7:30. And I just remember the first half of the day feeling so like groggy and not even fully there. So I 100% support
sleep. This reminds me of an article I read recently that found, I don't remember where I read it. Anyway, they found that if in college, if kids children are not in college, but I mean, except for like the Doogie Howsers of the world, but in college, if you are in your first year, classes you take first thing or early in the morning are like 10 or 20% less likely to end up being the kids' majors. Whereas if they took the same class in the afternoon, it was more likely to be the major of that young person.
I mean, I don't remember what classes I took very early in the morning, but I do remember any 8 a.m.s I had, I was not a huge fan of.
I think actually on this weekend's View, and maybe even our Friday, Krista, aren't we interviewing somebody who wrote a book on sleep and how important that is?
Yeah, we're interviewing Diane Macedo about the sleep fix. We'll get some tips on how we can improve our sleep. So, right.
And I think we're featuring an excerpt from her book on the Sunday View, which is available to our emissaries. Well, that is it for today's Optimist Daily Update. Other headlines, I'll just read a couple. Engineers have developed hydrogen-powered e-cargo bikes. So these are electric bikes with fuel cells. Interesting. Study has proven that dogs can distinguish between familiar and unfamiliar languages. So my bilingual dog knows Spanish, English, but probably wouldn't understand Chinese. And there's a UK initiative helping us worm our way into a greener future. And that's by compost. Yay! What else?
So some other headlines include scientists develop tech that can separate 12 different types of plastics. These sneakers are made out of recycled coffee. And another one is Preeti Chandy becomes the first woman of color to trek across Antarctica.
Thank you so much for listening to today's Optimist Daily Update. We promise to keep sharing these kinds of positive, solution-based stories, ideas on how you can get active and participate in the changing world and help make sure that it gets changed to the positive. We promise to keep covering current events with accurate, legitimate sources and offering you all this kind of information that ignites your curiosity and helps to chart new paths for the world and for all of us. And as I mentioned before, we have some great stuff coming up on the Weekend View, which is a feature that goes out to our emissaries. If you haven't already signed on as an emissary, please consider becoming one on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, you can help support reader-funded independent journalism that is The Optimist Daily. Keep us going. Keep us free for everybody who needs it, supported by those of us who can. And you can be a part of that solution-changing consciousness that addresses our world's biggest challenges with the problem-solving mindset and keeps us all focused on bright spots. Anyway, everybody, be back tomorrow with that interview.